So wait, the angel went where? To a bunch of shepherds out in the field? Seems like an odd choice, doesn't it? Not to the high priest in Jerusalem, as he appeared to Zechariah 9 months before when he was offering incense in the temple and told him not of the birth of the Savior, but the birth of his own son. The angel didn't go to Caesar Augustus and tell him that the king of the Jews was born in a little backwater of his empire. The angel didn't go anywhere but to the lowest rank of society imaginable. He went out into the fields and found shepherds who came into town maybe once or twice a year. Now, we all know that our Holy Father Francis said that shepherds should smell like the sheep, but these guys, oh boy, they would have brought a smell with them and it wouldn't be incense. These are the ones to whom the angel appeared and announced the good news of the birth of the Savior, who had been born, by the way, in a stable, because there was no room for them in the inn. They didn't have a crib, so Mary put the newborn king into the animal's feeding trough. An odd choice. But one that, of course, in God's great providence, makes perfect sense. Because this is the king who is going to not only offer his life on the cross, but he was going to offer his body and blood for his people to feed on for all eternity. This is what we celebrate this night, the glory of God that can be so easily missed. I mean, if you imagine that, as I like to do, when the angel appeared and the angelic choir came and sang "Glory to God in the highest" for the first time, there would have been a bright light, might have attracted some attention, and maybe that's where the newborn king was to be found. Nope. He was found in a stable, born to the humblest of parents. He was going to grow up and to be rejected by his people. He was going to teach and preach and heal and so clearly manifest that God was among his people. Indeed, the name Emmanuel means God with us. And God chose to be with us, not in our exalted human nature, in the great accomplishments of the mind, you know, the seven wonders of the ancient world. No, God chose to be with us in the most unlikely place imaginable. So guess what? That's good news for you and I. I mean, I'm not famous. Well, you might Google me and find me, but that's true for all of us these days, right? That God chose to be with us in our littleness, in our loneliness, and not just that, in our brokenness. In the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, where the evangelist traces Jesus' line back through King David and all the way back to Abraham, Matthew doesn't just hit the highlights of that lineage. He also includes a number of people you'd think we'd just rather forget. Some horrible and evil kings of Israel. A prostitute. A victim of rape. All these people that would be swept under the rug. No. God wants to be with us in our very broken and weak humanity. That is where God chose to be with us. And this is what we remember on this most holy of nights, the birth of our Savior in a little backwater part of the greatest empire that could have easily been forgotten and overlooked. This is where God chose to be born among us. This is from where he grew to full maturity to fulfill his ministry, because after all, as God, he already had the fullness of life. So unlike the rest of us, Jesus didn't come to be born. Jesus came to die, to offer that life for all of us so that we might have life to the full, that the glory of God might be manifest in our lives so that we might overcome darkness, sin, suffering, and death. This is why God was born in a stable among animals to poor parents, so that we might overcome all that holds us bound, all that keeps us from being in God's presence and joining the angelic choir singing glory to God in the highest. We celebrate that night and we attune our senses to look for God where we least expect him. We look for God where God chooses to be rather than we think he should be, where he might be. He is always found among the poor, the weak, the sick, the suffering. And he continues that to this day because he is with all of us in our broken humanity, of all of our dreams dashed, our hopes seemingly destroyed. And it is precisely there that God is with us and lifts us up, not by our strength, but by his. We celebrate that night where God came into the world and could easily have been missed, and indeed was missed by so many. We come to celebrate the Eucharist on the feast of Christmas. We celebrate that Jesus being present among his people under the forms of bread and wine, where, once again, what a surprise, he can be so easily missed, so easily overlooked. And yet that is how he chooses to be among his people until the end of time. He chooses to be with us in order to strengthen us, to lift us up by all that held, that holds us bound. He came so that we might have life and have it to the full. This is the glory that we celebrate every time we gather to celebrate the Eucharist and to take that strength within us, because our bodies need a constant source of fuel. Not just physically, but spiritually as well. And the Lord comes to do that his very self. He doesn't send someone else, but it's rather God himself who chooses to become our food, so that we might carry him, as St. Paul says, or would later say rather, in earthen vessels. Precisely in our humanity, not because we're good, we're talented, and not despite the fact that we're sinners and that we need God's grace, but precisely because of that. Because God is with us even there. And indeed, that is where God is most often found, in our weakest moments, in our most shameful moments, so that he might lift us up to be not just where Adam and Eve were at the first creation, but rather to bring us into the very divine life of God, to bring us into the very heart of God. Why? Because that's where God wants us. To get our attention, to remind us that it is about him. He comes to us in weakness, in humility, so that we might find him there over and over again, that we might lay claim to his strength precisely there, so that we might, again, not just return to the side of God, to walk beside God as Adam and Eve did, but to dwell within God. God comes to dwell within us so that we might dwell within him. And tonight we celebrate the very beginnings of that mystery again in littleness, in humility, in smallness. And as we watch that divine life unfold, we look and see that same thing happening within ourselves. The grace of God being within us, that we receive in the Eucharist, in the sacraments, in prayer, in many, many other ways, so that we can go and share that gift with others. We come to receive God's greatest gift to us, not for us to keep, so that we might imitate God and give it away, to give it to someone who needs it more than we do, who needs that gift of hope, needs that gift of reconciliation, needs that gift of peace. But it is precisely in giving that gift, in imitating what we find in the crib, that we find our true stature as the children of God. Yes, in humility, but laying claim to his strength and having exceedingly abundantly that grace within us that can do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine.